All right, so this is going to be an advanced teaching. It's going to cover a lot of ground. You really need to go to our website underneath the Gospel of John. And there's a whole article on it. Because you've got to realize, the Gospel of John should not be where it is. It should be in front of Revelation. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are together. That's the number three.
Synoptic.
Right? What do you mean it's the number three?
Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's three.
Oh, yeah.
That's a perfect number. Four is not a perfect number. Mm-hmm. So we're going to begin with this where people have made a big mistake. This is really the end of the teaching, but we're going to maybe do this first just to show you this principle. Go to Luke 1. Let's just bring this. John is in a whole nother category. And people have no idea, and, you know, Bible or Word of Yahweh teachers will not address this at all. Look at 1:1. Well, let's look at 3. 1:3. Luke 1:3. It seems good even to me, having closely traced from the outset all things accurately, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Okay? We're going to see that in the book of Acts. Let's go to the end of Luke. How does Luke end? Last chapter is 24, verse 50.
Now, slow down a minute.
So this is just elementary. Are you there? And he led them forth as far as unto Bethany, and uplifting his hands, he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he was blessing them, he parted from them. The double brackets means the rest was added.
But what?
The double brackets, I'm not going to read that part, because those are not in the text. And they returned unto Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing Yahweh. Let's go to Acts 1 now. And Acts 1 is a continuation of Luke. What's the first sentence read, Melania?
The first narrative indeed made I concerning all things, O Theophilus.
Can we just talk about Theophilus and Luke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's loved of Yahweh. Love to God. Theo is God.
Phyllis is love.
Yeah. Phyllis. But as you can see, verse 6, and they therefore having come together, remember they were talking together and Christ was departed from them. Mm-hmm. In Luke, continuation. And therefore having come together, began to question him, saying, Lord, art thou at this time duly established in the kingdom of Israel? And he goes on to this, and then guess what happened? And 9, as having said these things, they were beholding, he was lifted up in the cloud, caught him away. And they're going to Jerusalem, because he's telling them, go to Jerusalem. This is a continuation of the book of Luke. John is completely separate from this. And so what we've got is our order is inaccurate. It should be Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts. Very simple, Mark. And in our chronological Bible, that's what we do. You don't, when you have somebody read a gospel, you don't have them read, everybody has them read what?
John,
which is the absolute wrong thing.
Most complex there is.
Luke is the only one that takes people from the conception of John the Immerser all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Mark, there's no John, I mean, there's no born, there is no birth of John the Baptist or John the Immerser. And Mark, there's no birth of even Christ and his story. In Matthew, we saw a little insert, but that's usually 2 years and after. And then it's Luke that has it all. And John, obviously, there's no birth at all in the book of John, of Christ. This is where we're trying to get to undo things, but to show you, what evidence do you have? So I'm going to present my evidence. Okay. And so think of it as being an attorney to sell the jury what you've got.
This is about
John, how we're going to do this is with the city Jerusalem, which is Jerusalem. To put a Y there. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16.
For Melania, the order of the book's not how Yahweh necessarily set it up.
Yeah.
So people don't know that. They think you're...
Yeah, Deuteronomy 16. Yeah, the order are not holy except in the church epistles. So they're always in the same order. Okay, Deuteronomy, and people don't realize Deuteronomy means Gentiles, or the nations, the non-Jews, are not aware of just the foundation of this whole book, and of Yahushua, who was an Israelite, who was in the seed of David, fulfilling the law. 16. Three times in a year shall each one of you, thy males, see the face of Yahweh thy God. Is that an option?
No.
Is that a commandment?
Yes.
Yes, it is. In the place where
you're in chapter 16.
Yeah, verse 16.
Oh, 16. Okay. Sorry.
In the place which he shall choose, at the festival of unleavened cakes, at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of booths. And right now we're celebrating this. We're in the festival of booths right now, which were 7 days of rejoicing. And none shall see the face of Yahweh empty handed, every man according to his hand can give, according to the blessing of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he has bestowed upon thee. So, what we've been taught is Yahushua's ministry was 3 to 3.5 years. So in that particular case, let's say 3 years in Melania, how many times would he have to be in Jerusalem?
Nine.
Pardon me? Nine times. Okay, at least nine times. And we're going to see not even close. And so you're like, okay, foundation, that goes away. You got to be there nine times.
Explain why.
Well, because Yahweh told him to. Okay. You're going to be there every male. Is going to be at the festival. And there's three festivals a year. You're going to do that. As we're going to see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's only there once. And that's, what festival was that?
Passover.
Passover, which is the beginning of the festival of unleavened bread. Passover is not a festival. Passover begins the feast of unleavened bread. Remember, that's when they left Egypt, and Yahweh said, "Don't make leaven," and that's why you're doing unleavened bread. It's a reminder. That's the only, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's the only time he's there, which we'll see. We're going to see that Jerusalem is going to be Yahweh's place. He's going to abide there on the earth. Christ is going to abide there on the earth. There's something very, very special about Jerusalem. And we're going to see that it's going to be a very holy place, and then we're going to see Satan is actually occupying it. Very simply. And what would make Satan or Satan more happy than to occupy Yahweh's place?
Yeah, that's what he wanted in the beginning.
Like the high priest.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really simple of that, but he is in there in the holiest place that we saw in our history. We've seen, supposedly, Rome is a holy place with the Catholic Empire, right? And what was it? It was a very unholy place. Mm-hmm. Just the opposite. Terrible. So if Martin Luther would have gone into Rome, what would have happened to him?
He would have been killed.
He would have been killed.
Burned.
We're going to see Jerusalem, when Christ is born and through his ministry, is an absolutely unholy place run by Satan. Mm-hmm. All right, and so when he went there, the one time, what happened to him?
He killed him.
They murdered him. Predictable. We're going to see that. That's not the case in John. And so when you have three agreeing and one telling a whole different narrative, well, the one in the narrative, the parts that contradict the three are figures of speech, because they can't be taken literal. So if somebody says, I was in Kansas City on March 22nd at 6:40, and I was in St. Louis on September 22nd, 6:40, well, that cannot be.
You mean, well, you said March, then you said September.
Oh, did I say, you I'm just going to say, not March, September 22nd, in both places. Okay. Well, I can't be in both places.
Right.
So one's either literal and the other one's figuratively, or a figure, or both of them are wrong. But we know Yahweh's word, I've got three witnesses that say one thing, and the one that does not agree with that. So you have to say, okay, the one that doesn't agree has to be a figure. Let's look about the holy place of Jerusalem, Yahweh's future abiding place. 1 Chronicles 21.
Chapter
21, 18 and 19. Can you read that, Wendy?
Yeah. And the messenger of Yahweh commanded God to say unto David that David should go up to the rear, to rear an altar unto Yahweh in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up according to the word of Gad, which he spake in the name of Yahweh.
Now we go to verse 26, and if you could read it to 22:1.
And David built there an altar unto Yahweh, and caused to go up ascending sacrifices and peace offerings, and called unto Yahweh, and he responded to him by fire out of the heavens upon the altar of ascending sacrifices.
That's very important. Yahweh only starts the fire where he wants something to be. And so he did that with Moses, the original altar, when he made the temple, the tent of meetings. He did that with Solomon when they moved the whole thing to Jerusalem. And he did that here. So now go to 27.
And Yahweh gave word to the messenger, and he put back his sword into its sheath. At that time, when David saw that Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. But the habitation of Yahweh, which Moses had made in the desert, and the altar of ascending sacrifice, were at that time in the high place at Gibeon. And David could not go before it to seek Yahweh, for he had been terrified because of the sword of the messenger of Yahweh.
Keep going.
This then, said David, this is the house of Yahweh Elohim, and this is the altar of ascending sacrifice for Israel.
There it is, on the threshing floor of Onan. That is where the David's temple and Solomon's temple would be built, and on the threshing floor, that would be the Holy of Holies, the spot where you're going to put the Ark of the Covenant. And why, we're going to see, it's Yahweh's habitation. So 1 Chronicles 23, 25. For said David, Yahweh the Elohim Israel has given rest unto his people and hath taken up his habitation in Jerusalem unto what?
Times
age abiding. Let's go to Joel 3:17. The prophet Joel.
Where's Joel?
Right after Hosea.
Good. 3:17, page 872.
Make sure you take notes, Mamaw.
What did you say?
872.
No, what chapter?
Chapter 3, verse 17. And so shall you know that I, Yahweh, am your Elohim, making my habitation in Zion, my holy mount. So shall Jerusalem be holy, and foreigners shall pass through her no more. Verse 28. 21. And I will free from their blood guiltness them whom I have freed, for Yahweh is about to make his habitation in Zion. That's also Mount Horeb, Mount Moriah, which is Jerusalem. On there.
Huh.
Zechariah 8:3. So we're going to get established. This is Yahweh's, and this is why everything is happening on the earth. Now, we are celestial creatures, messengers, and we are terrestrial creatures. Celestial creatures live someplace else. But Yahweh, Christ, is going to rule the new earth because he's king of the new earth. And then we're going to see Yahweh comes down and rules also. But Zechariah 8:3. Read that, Melania.
Thus saith Yahweh, I have returned unto Zion, and will make my habitation in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of fidelity, and the mountain of Yahweh of hosts, the mountain of holiness.
Yeah, it's just great. Let's go to 6, Zechariah 6, verse 12. And watch this. This is his son rebuilding the temple. Yahushua, then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, saying, Lo, a man, Bud is his name, or Semach, that's the Messiah, Christ, and out of his own place shall he bud forth, and shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall bear the honor, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and shall become a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between two of them. So this is Yahushua, and that's also in Ezekiel 40. And in Revelations 20, we're going to see Christ comes back. They're going to rebuild Jerusalem with altars, everything else is going to be there. That's a prophecy. But now we see Yahweh says, this is my place. This is my place. This is my place. Let's go to Revelations 20, verse 9. End of the book. It's my place. This is where I end up. And they came up over the breadth of the land and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. So the beloved city is Jerusalem, and this is Christ. And, people think they can fight Yahweh. Does this end up very well?
No.
Do they lose?
Badly.
The match, please. Poof.
Yeah.
Oh! You know, it's like me trying to fight a tank. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to wrap it. I'm going to hit you, and then people are like, really?
I got a baseball bat with me.
Really? Yeah, a baseball bat with a little helmet on. Really? Really? I mean, it's just like a joke. Let's go to 21, 1 and 2. 1,000-year reign happens with Christ. Mortal man's there. Jerusalem, the place where it is. Jerusalem. 1,000 years. Satan is loosened. He is thrown in the lake of fire. He sees the people. Death and Sheol are thrown in the lake of fire. Death is no more. All the bad guys are gone. And then what happens, 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, what?
New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem, saw I coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then you see verse 10, there's the last uses of Jerusalem. And he carried me away in his spirit unto a mountain great and high, and pointed out to me the holy city, Jerusalem. All right, so that's the last usage. Okay, but now we're going to see the history of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Ezekiel, we're going to see this is at the end of the rule of the 10 tribes and the rule of Judah. But Ezekiel is like the end of Yahweh's people for 70 years. How wicked this place can be. So we think when Christ is on earth that Jerusalem is a holy place. No, it's not a holy place. It's got a holy name over the top, but the people who are running it were the high priest who did what to our Savior?
Killed him.
And killed the boss's...
Tortured him.
Yeah, the boss's son. And you're supposed to be holy. No.
It's like Trump Towers. And what do they do to barons?
Holy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but you're like, this is not a good place. So 16, verse 1 and 2. And a word
we get there.
Okay. Ezekiel 16, 1 and 2. So this is when, you know, the 10 tribes have been already carried away about 150 years. Now, Judah and Jerusalem is being carried away. But we're going to find out what kind of position they were in. What were they actually practicing in this holy city? And the word Yahweh came unto me saying, Son of man, let Jerusalem know her what?
Abominations.
Let's go to 48. You know, there's a whole chapter on this. 48. As I led, declared my Lord, or Adonai Yahweh, verily Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, neither she nor her daughters, as thou and thy daughters have done. This is comparing Jerusalem, the holy place, as Sodom. Lo, this became the iniquity of Sodom, my sister. Pride, fullness of breath, is going on here. 51. Nor did Samaria commit one half thy sins. So, what that, you excelled over Ahab.
Yeah.
So Ahab is a wicked as a wicked, and you doubled what he was doing. But thou didst multiply the abominations more than they, and didst cause thy sisters to appear righteous by all the abominations which thou did commit. Now we go to Ezekiel 23. This is the holy city. And many times you have that, maybe with Rome, I don't know, but you got maybe homosexual behavior going on behind the walls and all sorts of stuff. Prostitution. 23, 1 through 2. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, two women, daughters of one mother there were, and they become unchaste in Egypt. In the youth came they unchaste, there were handled their breasts, and there was pressed their virgin bosoms. Okay. Now we go to verse 4. And their names were Ohola, the elder, and Oholabah, her sister. And they became mine and bare sons and daughters. As for their names, Samaria was Ohola, and Jerusalem was Oholabah. So there we got, very simple. And you can read this whole chapter. We go on to 36 to 39. You want to read 36 to 39, Wendy?
And Yahweh said unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Ohola and Oholabah? Then declare thou unto them their abominations. For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. Yea, with their manufactured gods have they committed adultery. And even their own children, whom they bear unto me, have they set apart for them to be devoured. Yet more this have they done to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day, and my Sabbaths have they profaned. Yea, when they had slaughtered their children to their manufactured gods, then entered they into my sanctuary on the same day to profane it. And thus have they done in the midst of mine own house.
Is that our present president, Biden, is a Catholic that goes to Catholic church? Is he slaughter children, allow children?
Absolutely.
Yes, it does.
Makes a lot of money off it.
Yeah, and also Nancy Pelosi, the House, any Democrat, which 50% of Catholics and Protestants vote that way, are that. Mm-hmm. This is what they are. They go to church, and they sacrifice their children, their lust, their money. Now, we're going to see Satan, occupying Jerusalem, and obviously at this particular time he was doing that. to their complete demise. Let's go to Malachi 4, chapter 4. And this is prophesying before the Messiah comes. 4 through 6.
Wait a minute, what page?
9:15, last book of the Old Covenant.
That's what I thought.
Which is really not the last book. The last book is what, Melania?
It's not.
Second.
Oh, the one with all the names.
Second Chronicles. Chronicles. Yeah, yes. Second Chronicles. It's actually the
name of the book. Malachi what?
4.
4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, statutes and regulations. Lo, I am sending unto you Elijah the prophet. Who is that going to be represented? In the Gospels, that's going to be who? John the Mercer. Before the coming of the great and fearful or awful day of Yahweh. What day is that for? Judgment. Judgment. The day of Yahweh is judgment. It's cracking the whip. And he came, and he shall bring back the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with utter destruction. So this is the time frame Christ is being born into, and John the Immerser is being born into a very bad time. So if we go to, well, you know that, Matthew 2, King Herod is a Jew who lives in Jerusalem, right? And we know what he did with, what did he do with Christ? What was he want to do with Christ?
No.
Murder him. Here's the Jew who is running Jerusalem in the territory, and he wants to murder the Messiah. All right, and he can't murder the Messiah. He thought so. He's going to murder all the children who live in that community.
All the babies under
two. Yeah, two and under. That is Jerusalem. That's the present Jerusalem. We don't have to go there, but that's, you know, Matthew 2, verse 3 and 16. Now, let's go to Mark. Let's go to John the Immerser. We go to Matthew 3, 1.
Mark.
I said Mark, but it's Matthew 3, 1. Now in those days came John the Immerser proclaiming in the wilderness, Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of the reign of the heavens hath drawn near. For this he hath spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, a voice of one crying aloud in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, straight be making his paths. And if you look at verse 7 through 10, but seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were they the top religious leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You had the high priest, and then you had the Sanhedrin, and some of these people were part of that, and they're Pharisees and Sadducees. And seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming into the immersion, he said to them, brood of vipers. Well, Jerusalem, you know, this is like, you know, priest coming in to your meeting, and I say, brood of vipers.
Yeah.
Or here is Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Meyer coming in, and I say, brood of vipers. How dare you? These are the fulcrum of Christianity. Who suggested you to be flame from the coming wrath? So you're like, wow, that's really hard. And guess who else was murdered in Jerusalem?
Stephen.
John the Immerser. So Herod is living in Jerusalem, and so John the Immerser is beheaded, the prophet is beheaded in Jerusalem. Right? Now, we're going to see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Yahushua begins his ministry where? When does his ministry start?
Capernaum?
No. Where did he do first? When the Spirit was poured out on him?
Jordan.
Jordan. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he gets immersed. That's the beginning of his ministry. And then what does he do?
Goes into the wilderness 40
days. Goes into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. So we're going to see, we know that Passover is 60 days after Feast of Booths, approximately 60 days. So, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we're only going to see him at Passover. He doesn't make it to the Feast of Unleavened Bread because he's killed on Passover. So the last time he would have been in Jerusalem would be in Tishri or Feast of Booths, which there's no record of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to say this could be the start of his ministry. That he from the Feast of Booths, he went to John the Immerser and got immersed.
And then to the wilderness.
And then he goes, well, it's 40 days. If it's 6 months, 40 days is a month and a half. He's not in action, so his ministry is actually 4.5 months. His teaching ministry is 4.5 months before he goes to Jerusalem and then gets murdered. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's look at what Christ thinks of Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37.
You who welcome the prophets.
23:37. And this is why he wouldn't be there 9 times.
We're going to see this 9 times, huh?
Because, what's he say in verse 37, Melania?
Verse 37.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that slayeth the prophets and stoneth them and have been sent unto her. For often would I have gathered thy children like as hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not.
So this is your holy land. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you're a wicked, wicked place. And what does Jerusalem do? They slay the prophets. That's what they're... Is Christ a prophet?
Yep.
Was John the Immerser a prophet?
Yep.
Yes, he was. So that's what they do. They slay the prophets. That's also recorded in Luke 18:31. We don't have to go there.
He also says...
But we're going to see some other bad cities on what's the condition of Israel as a nation was when Christ entered into. Matthew 11:20. So Jerusalem is not the only one.
Capernaum, Bethsaida.
Yeah, that's right. Capernaum and all the rest of them.
That's where he lived.
Yep. Yeah, wasn't his home in Capernaum?
So Wendy, if you would read 20-24, chapter 11:20-24.
There is no verse 11 in chapter 20.
Matthew.
Yeah, chapter 11, Matthew 11.
Oh, Matthew
11. Wait a minute, did I say? Yes, yeah, 20-24, sorry. That's what I said. Go ahead, Wendy.
Then began he to upbraid the cities in which had been done his noblest mighty works, because they repented not. Alas for thee, Chorazin. Alas for thee, Bethsaida. Because if in Tyre and Zidon had been done the works of power which were done in you, of old, in sackcloth and ashes, had they repented. Moreover, I say unto you, for Tyre and Zidon, more tolerable will it be in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, unto heaven shalt thou be uplifted, unto Hades thou shalt be brought down. Because if in Sodom had been done the works of power which were done in thee, it would in that case have remained until this day. Moreover, I say unto you, for the land of Sodom, more tolerable will it be in a day of judgment than for thee.
These are places where he worked. Mm. His home was Capernaum. So you're looking at evil Jerusalem, Israel is as a whole. Now, we know there's 3 feast days. He's murdered after his first entry into Jerusalem. So, let's see here. We've got the 6 months. We've got that. John. Okay. Now here's where it becomes then to going into the Gospel of John. This is the places that contradict.
Are we going into John?
Yes, we're going into John, chapter 2. I'm going to get people to write something down if you want to. We can't go through all of it, but you can maybe make a little note on a piece of paper, side deal. So what are figures of speech? What particular chapters are figures of speech? It's going to say he was in Jerusalem when he was not. So it has to be a figure of speech. It's a lesson. Now, like Bollinger said, if it's a figure of speech, it actually draws more emphasis. But it is not literal. So, John 2:13 to 3:21 is a figure. John 5:1 to verse 47 is a figure. Nobody's writing those down. Okay, maybe we'll do it later. John, maybe you guys will do it. 7:10 to chapter 10:39 is a figure. So John, we'll just give you an example. In John 2:13, what's it say? And near was the Passover of the Jews, and Yahushua went up unto Jerusalem. Well, this is only in chapter 2. He's already in Jerusalem. See, this is where they get the 3 years, because they're going to go 3 different Passovers, which cannot be, because there's only one Passover that he went to. It begins there, so you know he's in Jerusalem, so from there on, he's going to leave in 3:22, chapter 3, verse 22. And after these things came Yahushua and his disciples into the Judean land. Okay. He was in Jerusalem. He leaves Jerusalem. We go to chapter 5, verse 1. And after these things was a feast of the Jews, and Yahushua went up to Jerusalem. That didn't happen either. So that's the beginning. Chapter 6, verse 1 is when he leaves. And after these things, Yahushua went away to the Sea of Galilee. Okay. So that section of scripture is a figure. 7:10. But when his brethren had gone up unto the feast, then he also went up, not openly, but as in were in secret. He's back in Jerusalem, feast day. Chapter 10, verse 40. So this is a really many chapters. From 7 to chapter 10. Verse 40.
Hold it.
This is when he leaves. And he went away again beyond the Jordan. Okay, he leaves Jerusalem. That's the woman caught in adultery. Man born blind. All that stuff. It was done in Jerusalem, which he wasn't there in Jerusalem. Also, to establish this, to say that's why John is not where it's supposed to be. It's really a connection of revelation. In the Gospel of John, I could go through the thing, but you have to get the paper. The end times is never spoken of. The day of Yahweh. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke it is. Is revelation the end times?
Yeah.
Yes. And so where John leaves off, Revelation begins. That's the end times. Looked like it was the same kind of vocabulary on both people. John is called the Lamb of God in the Gospel of John, and he's called the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Go together. Just like Luke and Acts go together.
Excellent.
But we're going to see Son of God. Now this is very, very unusual. Not unusual, it's just absolutely. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's just go to Matthew.
Son of Man, there.
26. The phrase, Son of God. Because if anybody, we got to realize, he never told people he was the Son of God. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only one person, when he said, Peter, who am I? And he says, you are the Messiah, which means Son of God. And he said what?
Keep it a secret.
Right?
And the woman at the fountain.
No, that's in John.
Okay.
See,
okay.
We're going to see that. Yeah, we're going to see a whole different situation. Because by saying he's the Son of God, that is death penalty.
That's what?
Death penalty.
Death penalty.
Yeah.
Because we look at Matthew 26, 59. Let me see here. And the high priest and all the high council were seeking false witness against Yahushua, that they might put him to death, and found not any, though many came forward as false witnesses. Okay, we're going to come back here. I'm diverting a little bit. Go to John. Hold your finger right here. Nobody could get a witness on him, right? John 10.
Bless you.
36. He's in Jerusalem, remember? According to John 10, 36, it says, whom the Father hallowed and sent forth into the world, are you saying that I speak as profanity because I say what? What?
Let him go to him.
He just told all of Jerusalem that he's the Son of God. These guys never heard it. They're looking for witnesses. Let's go back to Matthew. They're just looking for witnesses, and they can't find a witness. Or here you just had maybe 1,000 people just heard him say he's the Son of God, and that's a death sentence. And that's what's going to happen. Watch. Let's go back to Matthew 59 again. And now the high priest and all the high council were seeking false witnesses against Yahushua. They didn't need false witnesses. He already said it in Jerusalem, according to John, that they might put him to death, and found not any, though many came forward as false witnesses. At length, however, there came forward two and said, this man said, I am able to pull down the shrine of Yahweh and in 3 days rebuild it. And the high priest saying unto him, nothing answering thou, what are these against thee bearing witness? And Yahushua was silent. And the high priest said unto him, I put thee on oath by the living God that to us thou sayest, whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Right? In the Gospel of John, it's everywhere. He's saying he's the Son of God through the whole book.
Yeah.
We're going to see that. Watch what happens. Yahushua said unto him, thou hast said, moreover, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming upon the clouds of heavens. Then the high priest rent asunder their garments, saying, he has spoken profanely. What further need have we of witnesses? Lo, now have you heard this black profanity? How do you does this same? And they answered him, guilty of death he is. Right there. What did he say? He confirmed that he was
Son of God.
Son of God. This is the only time he does it. And Matthew.
We're in Matthew.
Yeah, I know. There's only two usages of Son of God. One is a demon, we always saw, and he tells them to do what?
Be quiet.
Shut up. He would bind them. And this is the other usage. So the word Son of God is only two usages in Matthew. In Mark 14. Verse 55. We're running a little late, so let me... It's really 55 through 64, instead of reading all that. Let's just see. 61, same thing. And when he is silent and answered nothing, again the high priest was questioning him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Christ is synonymous with Son of God. And Yahushua said, what? I am. And the high priest, 63, and the high priest, having ran asunder their inner garment, said, what further need have we of witnesses? Hear ye the profanity, what do you do now appear? And they all condemn him to be worthy of death. So just the term, claiming to be the Christ, the Son of God, was death. Okay, there are two usages in Yeah, this is Christ and not the Son of God. You see, they say Son of the Blessed, so it doesn't say Son of God. There are two usages of Son of God in Mark. Both of them are by demons. That's Mark 3:11 and then verse 57. Now we go to Luke 22:66. I won't read it all. There's four usages. Let's just go right down to 70. And they all said, Thou then art the Son of God. And he said unto them, and he unto them said, Ye say I am because I am.
You say it because I am.
And then they say the same thing. So you got four usages. One messenger is talking about the child will be the Son of God. And you have two demons. And then this particular case. Now when you go into the Gospel of John, so remember, the only time he says he's the Son of God is when he's ready to be murdered. Right?
Yeah.
And where's he going to be murdered? In Jerusalem. Well, John has him in Jerusalem for years, saying he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
We're going to see here, and let's go to...
I always wonder why you rebuke the demons.
Yeah, they John 10.
It looks like they're honoring him. They're actually trying to get him killed.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, yeah.
Why would you tell him to be quiet?
Okay, so 10, I don't know if you have time to do this. But it's really John 10:22-39, very important. Right there, where is he? On verse 22.
Jerusalem.
The feast of dedication took place at that time in Jerusalem. It was winter. That's December 25th. And Yahushua was walking in the temple in the porch of Solomon. There he is, right there in the middle of the Jews. And if you read the whole things, verse 33, the Jews answering him, concerning a noble work are we not stoning thee, but concerning profane speech, because thou being a man art making thyself an Elohim. Yahushua answering them, one point to make note to everybody, the word a or an, which we call the indefinite article, is never in Greek or Hebrew. There is no such thing. So anytime you see the word a or an, it's been added by man, which is fine. That's how we speak. But they'll say right here, because thou being a man, art making thyself God. No. You got to put the word a, God. Because this is what we're talking about.
Now what verse are you
going? Yeah, verse 33. But they don't put an A in front of God, and they make it capital G instead of small g.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to explain this to you. And Yahushua answered them, is it not written in your law, I say you are what?
Elohims.
Gods, Elohims. He just said men are called Elohims. If those he called Elohims unto whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, on him whom the Father hallowed and sent into the world, are you saying thou speakest profanely, because I say, Son of Elohim or Son of God, I am? So he just did this in Jerusalem. Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, no evidence whatsoever. There's no witnesses at his crucifixion. There's no witnesses by the high priest. But it's right here. It's completely done in Jerusalem, probably a year before. It was already done. So, let's go John 1:34. Here's John the Immerser. I therefore have seen and borne witness that this is the what?
Son of God.
That's the beginning of the book of John. Verse 49. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, thou art the what?
Son of God.
Son of God. Thou art King of Israel. 3:18. Okay. And he that believeth on me is not to be judged. He that believeth not already has been judged, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's calling himself right there the Son of God. 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there cometh an hour, and now is, when the dead shall hearken unto the voice of the Son of God. Let me see here. 11:4. Chapter 11, verse 4. And this is Mary, Lazarus' sister. 11:27. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. All right? 19:7. The Jews. 19:7. The Jews answering him, We have the law, and according to the law he ought to die, because Son of God himself he made, which is the Messiah. And then we have Yahweh called him Son of God in 20:31. Let's just look at the word Christ too, the woman at the fountain, John 4. Now we go to 4. 4:25. I know that the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh who is called Christ, the Messiah, or Son of God. Whatsoever he shall come, he will tell us everything. Yahushua said unto her, What? I that speak unto thee am he. He just identified himself. Remember, the only person in Matthew, Mark, and Luke knew him as Christ was who?
Peter.
Peter. So Nathanael, when that's in there, that's foreign. You know, all the apostles, Peter's the only one who spoke up. And that was at the end of his ministry. Let's see. Oh. So, finish up. He went, entered into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Let's finish up that. As King of Israel, Son of David, maybe we don't have time. I'll just go, we're all familiar with that. They're laying down the cloaks. They're laying down the palms.
Palm Sunday.
Yeah, and so Matthew 21:1-11, Hosanna, Son of David, entering into Jerusalem. This is the only time. If he was entering 9 times, what happened to the rest of these? Mark 11:1-10, it's called the kingdom of our father David. The king was a family of David. Luke 19:29-38, he comes in the name of, he said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. John 12 is right on this, so John 12 is correct. So it goes back into line with the other. You know, and so if you ever look at, which we've done before, in our paper on John, the Gospel of John, on the last page, it will show you how Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree. But John's not there. So there's 3 books that show you the basic course of them agreeing and agreeing and agreeing. And John, and the people trying to reconcile John, they can't. And so people had trying to force a round peg into a square hole. But John 12, and on the morrow the great multitude that had come unto the feast, this is the Passover he's actually at, hearing that Yahushua was coming into Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm tree, went out to meet him, and began crying aloud, Hosanna, blessed is he that is coming in the name of Yahweh, even the King of Israel. And Yahushua, finding a young ass, took his seat thereon, just as written, Do not fear, O daughter of Zion. Lo, thy king cometh, sitting upon the colt of an ass. That is it.
Yeah, but why is John
like this?
It's like a different book.
Yeah, and so it's
a gospel.
Yeah, and so it's telling a different narrative, and we have to say, well, that's great. You know, it's just presenting things, but it can't be literal.
What's its purpose?
Well, it's telling you story. I think no different than
the rich man Lazarus.
Yeah, the rich man Lazarus. How about the forgiving father?
Prodigal son.
Yeah, the prodigal son. You know, I mean, it's just one thing after another. The 10 virgins who lost their they had candles or their lamps. So you go on and on and on, and so there's always a great message. Actually, you even bring more of it, but you've got to realize that literally didn't happen. And so if you don't write those things down and do the research, you have to go through each book of Matthew, which we've got on our site, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And here's where it goes. And if you just look up the word Jerusalem on a word processor, it will show you. It's only here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when you get to John, it's all over the place. So that can't be, because Jerusalem is a wicked, 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 wicked place. Where prophets get slain. Well, obviously, I'm not going to go to Jerusalem until I'm going to get what?
Killed.
Slain. See, they've got him in John. First day, shut up Jerusalem and knocked over the table. Well, how is that going to go? Calling yourself the Son of God and throwing the table over in chapter 2.
And a mess in the temple.
Yeah, in the temple. This is your introduction. And Nathaniel called you the Son of God. John the Baptist is calling you the Son of God. So you got a whole crowd saying, here's the Son of God. Well, that is death penalty. As we saw in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you're like, well, this didn't happen. But you have to start thinking, okay, Father wrote the book.
Yeah.
And so it's two things. Either the book should not be there, and Father didn't write it, or he wrote it, and it's an enigma, and we have to say, wow. And I know he did write it because it coordinates so many different things, but these other parts you've got to realize, the occasion of Nicodemus didn't happen because he was in Jerusalem. That's not in there. So if you don't write down these brackets and see where he's in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You know, the man born blind didn't happen, you know, and so it goes on and on and on. But there are great learning events, because on the man born blind, what was the message? They say, are we blind? He says, if you said you're blind, you might be able to see, but now you say you see, so you're blind. And so there's always this stuff. What was the message with Lazarus, the rich man Lazarus?
They don't believe Moses and the prophet. They won't believe a man raised from the dead.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with
hell and heaven.
It has everything to do with the Pharisees being lovers of what?
Money.
Money. So this parable was to the Pharisees who were there listening in Luke 16. And then the end of it is they were asking the parable, you know, rise somebody from the dead and tell my brothers not to come here. And he said, if you won't believe Moses and the prophets, you're not going to believe if somebody was raised from among the dead. And so our same thing today, if people are not going to believe this book, all right, I can do nothing with them.
Right.
Next person, go on, shake the dust off your feet. Okay, now we'll have a prophecy for the people who are listening. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Each time and each moment there is a blessedness. There's a time of sanctifiedness where you can become holy and separate and separate yourself unto me and contemplate with me and commune with me and take those moments and set them aside and take a walk or get into your quiet place where I can commune with you in order to energize you and to strengthen you and to give you the abilities so you can accomplish great tasks and great deliverance in your own life and in other people's lives as you serve me. Amen. See you next week.